This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, Zach.
On a day the Cavs play the Suns, how could you possibly want to talk Bruins?
Well, okay, fine. Break down the Suns then. Smart guy. Come on.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. Hey, who would win if they played tomorrow at First Energy Stadium, Browns or Steelers?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that if they do open again and it's in Cleveland, I think the line would be like Steelers minus one.
Tomorrow.
So you're saying they'd be favorite after free agency and after the draft.
So February 22nd, who are you taking, Browns or Steelers at First Energy?
Steelers. When I say Steelers minus one, I know that this is a weird question for a guy on the Browns payroll to ask, I know. But when I say Steelers minus one on the road, that means that they think that the Browns have a great chance to win. And, I mean, I would think so, too. I think it'd be a small line. And, I mean, if you're assuming Antonio Brown won't be on the team, then there's a chance that the Browns could win that game. Absolutely.
So who would win tomorrow? Who would win tomorrow at First Energy Stadium?
Well, the Steelers would win, Ken. I don't know.
Well, I wanted to know. That's all I wanted to know. I thought I was going to be screaming and yelling over here. Now I'm just deflated. Stop snickering into the phone. I can hear you snickering into the phone, Zach. Are you going
to
ask
morning,
him a question
guys.
Now,
Let's
Anthony? Take her
I'm
away.
I'm fine. I'm done with the interview.
For the love of God.
I think the interview's done. Put the headline up, Steelers would win. Anthony wins the argument. All right.
Zach said it. Yeah.
Zach joins us on the hotline. By the way, when we got into the heated discussion, it's not that the Browns aren't going to get a lot better, and that's what I'm excited about. Ken asked the question now, and here's what we don't know about the Browns. We don't know if this defense... obviously they'll add talent to the defense. I have no idea if they're going to be a better schemed defense next year. I know a lot of fans wanted us to keep Greg Williams, so he's not here anymore. Now you go to a guy who was somewhere else. I have no idea how that's going to go. I also have no idea about Freddie Kitchens. I know that we all got swept up in, Freddie and, all the comments after he got hired and you don't wear orange or brown, you don't matter, all that. Well, he's got to actually start coaching games and we're going to evaluate him on whether he can coach. Those are the things I'm taking into consideration, not to mention I actually think you can make the argument that the Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown stuff this year held back the Steelers.
You absolutely could. I would put it like this, guys. Everything that we think is out there for the Browns, and it's closer than it's been in a decade, like the playoffs, like real NFL relevance, like all those things, right? It's actually here once they beat the Steelers. Until then, it's just talk.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
I remember that time they won.
It feels like 35, right?
Yeah.
So it's here once they do it. I mean, the Ravens won the division because about 17 things went their way in December and 16 of 17 things went against the Steelers. The one that went their way was they beat the Super Bowl champions. So, it still goes through them to me. And they did. They had things wear on them in the season. They are having an atypical off season where they're in the news and where things are hanging over them. We will see. I don't think anybody except potentially the Raiders is giving a first for Antonio Brown. They have some defensive issues, but when they're healthy, they still have really good players. They still have one of the best offensive lines and highest paid offensive lines. They still have Ben, who's still plays at a high level. So I think it goes through them, and then when the Browns beat them once, that's all it will take, then everything we think is there is really there.
We have the great Zach Jackson joining us on the show. Actually, he's a major league bastard. I don't know why I'm calling him that. Anyway, Zach Jackson joining us on the show. So say if he were available in the division, we brought up Antonio Brown. Odell Beckham Jr. gets brought up. Are these pie-in-the-sky ideas? Do you think Antonio Brown seems to be far-fetched because it's in division? But should we be big game hunting then here in the next couple of weeks and going after some of these guys and maybe really making interesting trades, or should we kind of pull it back a little bit and be more realistic about some of the other stuff there?
I think in the middle of those two thoughts, Ken, I think that the Browns absolutely are big game hunting. and I think they will be past, you know, three-ish weeks from now when the league opens, league year opens. You know, there's no way they're going to spend $80 million in free agency. And I think with trading very much back in style, I think they position themselves to be there the next time one of these supposed blockbusters comes. You know, Antonio Brown with the division and the baggage, you could almost totally rule that out. Odell Beckham, I don't think they're going to trade him. But the fact that they haven't come out and said, absolutely knock this off, tells me that he's out there. Now, I just think that last year when the Browns had all this draft capital and he hadn't signed the contract is when, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen. But somebody, I think, is going to make the Giants a legitimate offer. Now, that somebody's probably not the Browns, and or that offer will probably be more than what the Browns would do right now, considering where they are. But I do think it's realistic, because I just think that there's too much smoke for it not to be. And if the Giants trade him, they're going into a rebuild, so taking a $12 million cap hit a year from now, you know, isn't a huge deal if you're doing that. So I say like 1% on Antonio Brown and 25-ish max on Odell Beckham, but there's a big difference when you ask the two.
Zach Jackson, join us on the hotline. It's interesting you say that the Browns wouldn't be that team at this juncture. Everything that I've seen from John Dorsey from at the end of Kansas City to the first year and change in Cleveland shows me big game hunting. He's not worried about it. He's somebody who's going to spend. He'll use that draft capital to go get things. Is it philosophical? Like, I want to know, Zach, what you think, because Odell obviously is another, much like Antonio Brown, number of off-the-field stuff. He's in controversy almost all the time, but it seems like John Dorsey's the kind of guy that doesn't care about that.
John Dorsey is the kind of guy that usually doesn't care about that. If Odell's really for sale, it's huge, huge, huge buyer beware. And I'm not trying to be naive or say that any team has a bunch of choir boys, or even say that getting smart, nice, low-key guys is the way to build a Super Bowl winner, because eventually you have to take some chances and push the envelope. But you can only have so many guys that might show up on TMZ at any time. I think that's kind of the new rule of 2019. And I think the Browns are already near their capacity. And also, you know, I've heard it twice just on this show, and I'm not blaming you guys. I just think when you realistically start throwing out things right now, like a 1 and a 3 for Odell Beckham, and I'm not saying that's the price. I'm saying that's a reasonable discussion point. I'm not sure the Browns are in position to do that with the buyer beware and with all the defensive needs that they have. You know, the Browns are back in the NFL. I'm not sure they're that close to where they could do that and take on a guy and have that much money tied up in wide receiver when they have all these other needs, you know, not being sure exactly how that might go.
Well, I think you're right about all the other needs, and this is where Ken and I have gotten to the argument about their defense, although Ken has agreed with me that, you know, say the Khalil Mack type of deal was out there again, maybe. By the way, what if halfway through the year the Denver Broncos are out of it? The Joe Flacco thing doesn't work out, and Von Miller is put up for grabs again. Like, is that a move you think the Browns would want to make, knowing that their pass rush was a bit of a disappointment last year?
Yeah, I think pass rush is, if it's not number one on their list inside the building, it's certainly among the top needs, it's fair to say. But I think also goes with that is just addressing defensive tackle, addressing linebacker, just being better defensively so you can get in more advantageous pass rush situations. You know, they have a decision to make on Emmanuel Ogba. They added a nice player in Chris Smith last year. And I think that's more how you use free agency smartly, is the Chris Smiths of the world for $3 million rather than these guys for $30. And the top pass rushers, we know only one or two of them are even going to make it to the market. So, yeah, you talk about Von Miller. I mean, that's not going to happen now. It'd be a huge cap hit. And the Broncos, obviously, by trading for Flacco, are saying that they can contend for the playoffs. And they did last year, you know, as bad as they were. So, yeah, I think all those things are out there. And I think it's an important part of what the Browns do here is they have to get better on defense. They have to get deeper on defense. But I would be shocked if John Dorsey does not leave a huge part of this cap going forward, both to sign their own guys in the next 6 to 18 months and to be ready for if that trade comes at the right price and time. And I think that's what it is. with Odell Beckham. I think they're, it's realistic, but I think the right time was 11 months ago as opposed to now.
Zach, you kind of took the question away from me, but I'm still going to ask, could they part ways with Emmanuel Agba here in a couple of weeks or so? Or what
no,
do you think?
No. I mean, he's a starter on this team. It's the last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
And you're going to be astounded by what even medium pass rushers are going to get here on the market and the ones that get extended.
Okay.
So they just have to decide, are we going to give this guy a deal or are we not? And they have some other decisions to make too. Joe Schobert and Demaryius Randall. But I think when you just look at how things have shaped out, and when you have Myles Garrett and you know that eventually you're going to give him that Von Miller-like contract, right?
Yeah.
You want to know that you have a guy on the other side that can make life better and easier for Miles. And we'll see, what they do with Agba.
We got Zach Jackson with us on the show. We got about 90 seconds. Zach, I know that Landon Collins is a safety. Would they make any sort of a run at him because he's, cleaning out his locker and all that stuff? I'm bringing up names that people think of. That's all.
No, I think, all right. I think quarterback, running back, safety is where they're good.
Okay.
And they need a backup quarterback, actually. So, no, I wouldn't expect them to be in the Landon Collins market. D. Ford's going to get the tag. Clowney's going to get the tag. DeMarcus Lawrence says he's not going to sign his tag, and the Patriots have to decide, are they going to tag Trey Flowers or are they going to tag the kicker? So that's kind of where the Browns are. I mean, Ziggy Ansah is going to hit the market, former top five pick pass rusher. Is he healthy? How old is he really?
Yeah.
He's going to get 30 mil from somebody. That's a buyer beware too, so we'll see.
Okay, 30 seconds. What's more important, the backup quarterback position or the kicker?
Ooh, that kicker, I think. But you might be in a position where you have to spend more on the backup quarterback. But I think the kicker is important. They're not giving up on Greg Joseph, I don't think. I mean, they signed him knowing that there was going to be some bumps, but he has a big, big-time leg. But, I mean, if he's not going to make extra points and you're going to be in a situation where every game counts rather than sneaking up on people, then you have to have a kicker who's going to make extra points. So we'll see.
All right, Zach. Thank you very much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Jackson from The Athletic. What?
Boy, that's interesting. I think a lot of Browns fans think Dorsey should spend like a drunken sailor this year. And Zach's saying, no, they can't do that. They can't spend like a drunken sailor. You're seeing all that money up for grabs, but they're going to have to spend that money over the next, especially next year. And he brought up Emmanuel Agba. That's a guy right now you have to make a decision on by the end of the year.
I think we'd like to get into that next. We'd like to thank Zach Jackson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That coming up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.